Welcome to the Think Wildlife podcast. Today we have Patrick Arnold, who is the founder of the 10 Billion Strong Initiative. This movement aims to provide educational leadership to the next generation of conservationists.
So hi, Patrick. Welcome to our podcast. It's a pleasure to have you.
Hi there. Thanks for inviting me. It's really great to be here.
So you're the founder and CEO of the 10 Billion Strong Initiative. So could you just talk about this and why you started this initiative?
So 10 Billion Strong is an environmental leadership organization, and we focused very intentionally on how we framed the organization when we were starting it. Our belief is that there are tremendous environmental challenges that humanity is facing as a collective right now, and also will be facing in the future. We're looking towards a population of around 10 billion people, maybe around 2050 or 2060, where it's expected to probably peak and then decline. It's still a significant increase from where we are today. And we know we're challenged on a lot of fronts with climate change and plastic pollution and food and energy scarcity and really an imbalance in a lot of different sectors. And rather than feeling pessimistic about this, we are really optimistic in the way that we think, because we really think that human creativity and ingenuity is the way to get out of some of these challenges. We've got a lot of great evolutions in technology that's helped humanity quite a bit, and we expect that to continue. So we're optimistic, but we're also really forward-looking as well. But we're really focused on leadership development and looking at people as the catalyst for change, and the skills and the motivations and the ambitions to drive change. And that's what we're investing in.
Okay, so why do you think it is necessary to involve the youth in sustainability?
For us, youth are important for a number of reasons. First, we're very focused on youth because they're at the stage of their lives where they're considering who they are as people and what they want to become and what impact they want to have on the world. And so there's a sense of opportunity and promise and questioning that happens at that age. The other thing is, we think there is a tremendous opportunity for youth to maybe think a little bit differently about their careers and their impact than previous generations. And third, we're really aware that some of the biggest environmental challenges that youth will face were created multiple decades or even generations before they were born. And so we want to give them a good chance to have an impact, to create a world that works for them, their kids, and the future generations to come, so that they're not overly saddled with those challenges.
So one of your initiatives that the 10 Billion Strong organization is the Green Leaders Academy Initiative. Could you just elaborate a bit on this initiative?
So for us, it's most important that our participants and our community members feel like they are working towards concrete action. So rather than learning about the problems or learning about what's not working, what we want to do is move people pretty quickly from understanding the challenges to developing as leaders, and then start taking effective action. And so the course is built upon the three pillars of environmental literacy, leadership development, and then civic engagement. And so at the end of the day, we'll assess whether we're doing a good job or not based upon what actions our community members take and how effective they are at really addressing some environmental issues at the community level, the national level, and the international level.
So how successful has this been so far?
Yeah, so the way the program works is we enroll people directly through an online platform. And so we're a pretty young organization, but we've trained about 1,000 young environmental leaders from about 25 different countries on our online platform. And then we're also training people directly through community groups in a number of different countries in Sub-Saharan Africa, as well as South and Southeast Asia. And we have a train-the-trainer model where we've trained NGO leaders, educators, and social entrepreneurs how to use our curriculum. This year, we've trained more than 50 leaders across 15 different countries. And those folks are starting to train other trainers, and then they're training youth. So we have this ripple effect. And so what we expect to see over the coming months and years is really thousands and hundreds of thousands. And our long-term moonshot goal is 1 million youth that are trained as a result of our direct trainings and the trainings that our community members do. And then hopefully we'll see some really great environmental actions as a result of that.
You also have one of the other programs is the Environmental Leadership Accelerator Program. Could you please elaborate a bit on this?
Yeah, so the Accelerator Program is really designed to help organizations that are already doing great work think about how they can improve and expand their impact. And so we think about everything from the business models that the organizations operate with, the staff and evaluation structures for the organization, the partnerships and the networks that they exist in. And really it's like a tune-up or an optimization for organizations that know they have a strong mission and just want to be really focused on being bigger and better at that. And what we found is not only is this helpful for individual organizations, but as a sector, there's a lot of knowledge sharing that can happen because all these organizations are working sometimes in collaboration, but sometimes on their own in silos. And so when they share resources, they can become much stronger as a collective rather than just more individually focused.
Okay, that's great. And what's the long-term vision for this?
Yeah, the long-term vision is that the organizations that we work with really are clear-eyed about the impact that they want to have. They do a good job of evaluating it, and then they continue to expand. And it works in tandem with the Green Leaders Academy because many of these partners are also implementing some of our training. And so we think we can reach more people and do a more effective job by working with stronger local organizations.
So returning back to your Green Leaders Academy, so you mentioned that you want to train 1 million green leaders. So what legacy do you want to leave behind by training such a large sum of environmental leaders?
What we're starting to work on now as our community grows is tracking our collective impact. And so we ran a campaign this July, a Plastic Free July campaign, and it's not something that we initiated on our own, but there's a organization based in Australia, Plastic Free July, that works on collective action, much the same as us, that tries to inspire and coordinate people to reduce their plastic footprint, and especially around single-use plastic, for a month of global action. And so we mobilized our members, and I was looking at the stats just earlier, and we had dozens of members from more than 10 countries participate in this campaign. And collectively, they reduced the single-use plastic that might be typical in their daily lives by hundreds and hundreds of kilograms. And what we see is, for us, just as a small organization, not only were they reducing waste, but they're also cleaning up beaches, cleaning up parks, educating others, educating hundreds of other community members about their work. And so all of this together for us is one example of collective impact. And so what we want to see as our future legacy is all of these positive environmental indicators that our participants contribute to as somehow attributed to our leadership training and our work. And so not only will we see a lot of these positive environmental impacts over time, and we expect them to grow and scale as the influence of our alumni increase as they go through their careers. And so you sort of imagine right now, if we're working with youth, high school students, college students, and young professionals, maybe for the average participant in that age group, maybe their span of impact is relatively modest. But fast forward 10 years, 20 years, or even more, what we hope to see as our legacy is some pretty influential alumni thinking very specifically about positive environmental impact in all the work that they do, not just for quote unquote typical environmentalists, but policymakers, government officials, health officials, lawyers, business people, really all sectors, we want them to be making substantial impacts. And that's what we see as our long-term legacy.
That's great. And how can people who want to join your program, join your program?
Yeah, so they can go to our website. You can probably share a link in the show notes, but 10billionstrong.org, it's spelled out 10, T-E-N, billionstrong.org. And there's a number of different ways to join. We'll be having another Green Leaders Academy that will run from early November through the end of the calendar year. It's about an 8-week program. And that will be open to youth from any country in the world. They're eligible to join our online academy. And the other thing is we're always interested in expanding our network and our partnerships. So there's ways to get in touch for organizations who might want to use our curriculum. There's opportunities for that or to do trainings with us. I will mention one other thing just because I think it's relevant for how organizations might partner with us is when we started the Green Leaders Academy, it was actually after we had run one of our accelerator programs for a group of really fantastic organizations in West Africa, Southern Africa, and East Africa. And the organizational representatives were incredibly strong, really visionary in their work. And many of them were doing environmental leadership and environmental education training. And our catalyst, our spark of inspiration for the Green Leaders Academy was we realized lots of grassroots level organizations all across the world are trying to train on issues like climate change and plastic pollution. But all of them were developing and researching and creating their own curriculum. And what we thought we could do as sort of a sector building initiative was we could create the curriculum for all of these important environmental issues. We could find the best resources all over the world, make this curriculum open source so that anybody can draw from it. But that if you think about an organization in India that wants to train youth and an organization in Ghana and an organization in Indonesia and one in Malawi, they might all want to teach on climate change. And the science of climate change is more or less the same wherever you go. There's no like Indonesian version of climate change. There's, of course, what's happening in Indonesia, but the big science globally is the same. So we want to just make it easy for organizations to get access to the best materials and to be able to adapt it to their local context. And so that's presented a really great opportunity for collaboration over the last year. And we expect that to grow in future years.
Great. And what have been some challenges you guys have faced with your academy as a whole?
Yeah, there are a couple challenges with all of these types of programs. I think with any big group that you assemble, there's different levels of engagement and commitment. And some of the engagement can be challenging. Sometimes connectivity can be difficult if people are accessing our remote programming with low bandwidth internet connectivity, that can be an issue. From time to time, there's some interest in starting projects and following up after our training. And people are like, okay, great, now I know the issues. Now I want to mobilize others, but like, where do I start? And how do I get going? And so we've been thinking a lot about giving people the tools to start projects. And, you know, in particular, everyone's always interested in how to fund these things. And so we've been thinking carefully about maybe offering some funding for maybe the most well thought out project proposals so that people can actually take action and track that. But funding for following projects is definitely a priority for us. But, you know, like lots of organizations, there's just scarce resources for that.
Okay. So my final question for you is, what has been your biggest learning from 1 Billion Strong?
I think for us, we have really been pleasantly surprised by how much energy and enthusiasm there are across youth communities all over the world to make a difference. So in some places, it could feel like it's just a matter of like convincing people that this is important. But by and large, that's not our challenge. By and large, there's just so many thoughtful, visionary people interested in stepping up, that, you know, our big challenge is how do we effectively work alongside of them. And so my, you know, the pleasant surprise is that I think there is a bright future ahead despite our many challenges. So like our organization, you know, 10 billion strong is optimistic in our DNA. But, you know, I'm optimistic just from my personal experience working with so many incredible youth doing great work. And your organization is an example of that, doing really fantastic work around wildlife, and in particular, thinking about different challenges and opportunities in South Asia. So, yeah, I remain very, very optimistic about the future.
That's great. So thank you for your time. It's a pleasure having you on the podcast, and we hope all the best for your organization.
Yeah, thanks for this opportunity to share, and cheering you on as well. Have a pleasant afternoon, and we'll look forward to staying in touch and collaborating.
Thank you. Same to you.